Fight Radio Thursday night. I don't know what's going on with the board. We're gonna I'm gonna get my partner in here. Hang on one second, y'all. Matthew, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. I'm coming at you like a spinning heel kick from Uriah Hall, bro. How's it going this week?
I'm good. We got a special guest, so let's get him in here, too.
Yeah, I know that music.
What's up, boys? How's the party in the Florida going tonight?
This is Skippy Cohen. What's going on, buddy?
It's warm down here, brother. It is warm.
Not yeah, good. I've been cutting firewood for an hour.
Yeah, well, we don't have to do that.
Us, man.
My folks are from New York, and they got about 7 to 12 inches of snow coming their way, and I sit down here in shorts and a T-shirt, so pretty fired up. What's going on tonight, guys? How are we doing on a Thursday night, Full Guard Fight Gear Radio?
Doing great, man. Doing great. I'm excited, man. We got our buddy Skippy set up a great show for us tonight. All kinds of stuff going on tonight. You know, we got going to focus on some female fighters from the CFA, possibly talking with the CEO of the CFA, which would be pretty tight. And then we got a big thing going on with Showdown Fights to close out the show. Going to be sponsored and brought to us by GFL, Go Fight Live, GFL.TV. So, you know, as we always do, first and foremost, our sponsors, the wonderful people over at Crossroader Clothing, Game Changer Clothing, BrawlBase.com, GatorMMA.com, FutureFighters.com. Thank you all for what you're doing for our show and for the progression of this sport. And like I already said, and like we'll be saying all night, thank you to GFL.TV. They got a lot of great great fights going on all weekend. I think we got a bunch of our Madhouse family going to be trying to cover some events throughout the weekend. I know Skippy's always working hard to set that stuff up for us. So,
yeah, and actually tonight, to get everybody ready for Showdown Fights 10 in Salt Lake City, they're running Showdown Fights, their last event, which was, I believe they're running the Berkman Jaeger event, actually. So that was a great event. But they're running one of my, I can't remember because I started watching it earlier, got sidetracked. But that's the great thing about GFL, man. They're always throwing up free events. And not only that, there, you buy it once, you own it for life.
Right on, man, right on.
But yeah, definitely, let's talk about this CFA, guys. I'm super excited. You know, 145 Pro Women's Tournament to title the first ever for CFA 145 pro women fighter, and that's cool. That's just a really cool tournament, man. I love it.
I got to be 100% honest with you. Before I started working with MMA Madhouse, I was not a female fighter fan. I would always turn the channel or find something else to do, but I got to be honest, I catch myself watching a lot. I mean, you guys are really kind of ingrained it in me, and, you know, you've kind of turned me on to a lot of quality female fighters, and I got to say thanks, man, because, you know, I enjoy all MMA, but, you know, I just made it an excuse to not have to watch female, but now I kind of find myself watching, sitting down to hunt it out, so I appreciate it.
Hey, look, that's something that I believe, you know, I grew up K-1 kid, you know, in Europe.
Yeah, man.
Especially following the Thai fights, you know, Thai women have been fighting a lot longer in Thai than in MMA. And so I knew what they could bring to the table in the way of excitement. And to see this crop of young ladies that's now available for, you know, us to see on a major platform like CFA, I mean, Taylor Stratford, I mean, I think she's 9-1 as an amateur. She's beaten Raquel Pennington. She beat Amanda Bell, who's a fighter we love. And last night she said on the show, toughest fight she ever had. And she felt she was losing that fight till the fourth round when she knocked her out. And we sponsor Amanda Bell. She's in Invitka. So there's two girls from Invitka. She's also got some wins over some other top girls. And then you talk about Peggy Morgan, who we're going to have on tonight. There's a beast right there. This girl is tearing it up. You know, people are actually... It's getting hard for her to find fights. People don't want to fight her, you know. And then Alana Jones, another tough individual coming out of Michigan. I'm pretty sure that's how you say it, Alana. I'm horrible with names.
Yeah, I would imagine so. That looks like Alana to me for sure.
Yeah, with two L's and the two wins, definitely.
You know, another really, really tough young lady, you know, who's tearing it up. And, I mean, just impressive that the CFA has brought together these girls and, you know, Kelsey DeFance. And you know, there are so many great girls on this card. I mean, you know, like I said, you got Brighton Hunton. She's going to be on this card. Also, Revelina Barreto, she is might not have fought in a couple years, folks, but this girl is a beast. Her hands are vicious, and that's why I think the last-minute change for Peggy Morgan to this benefits Peggy Morgan, because not only does Peggy Morgan have ridiculous hands, guys, she's not got the ring rust.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, with all that going on, this is a huge week. There's tons of stuff going on this weekend as far as MMA events. You know, we're talking about the CFA coming up real soon. Showdown Fight 10 is this weekend. It's tomorrow night. I'll actually be out. I'll be covering two live events this weekend. I'll be at Florida Combat Challenge 4 tomorrow night. I was talking with Dion today, he was hoping I could come out to the weigh-ins tonight. I had to remind him about my show. I told him I'll be promoing the show, and I'll be out there ready to go tomorrow. And then on Sunday, I'll be out at American Battle Championships down in Gasoline Alley in Tampa. So it's gonna be an awesome weekend. And I think I'm gonna be helping Madhouse out here Saturday night. I'm gonna be covering Ultimate Reno Combat 39. Be interesting to do. I've never done a event online before, but I'm psyched, man. I got a nice full weekend of some great live MMA, and we got a great night tonight full of some great MMA. So I am psyched, to say the least.
Yeah, you know, I gotta be honest with you, man. I'm a little jealous that you know, you get out to all these you know, these shows weekly, and I just it's not an excuse, it's a reason. I have some different priorities than yourself, and that's not a. That's nothing more than just to say that I'm a little jealous with you, but
yeah, man, you got a newborn baby, dude. You got a newborn baby.
No, it's not so much newborn anymore. He's like 5 months or 4 months now, so he's getting older. He's actually, he's sleeping next to me, but he really is a big MMA fan. It's kind of crazy because when I turn on the UFC or like Bellator or something, when I was watching the Muay Thai the other night, he was all over it, but. I have made a conscious effort to start getting out to more shows. We're going to bump into each other one of these shows. I promise you that. And we're both going to, and I'm going to know who you are right away, because you're either going to have your MMA Madhouse gear on, or I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on the gym.
Gator.
MMA, Gator, yeah.
Well, what you guys should be doing is both of you guys should be getting down to CFA 10 together, and let's kick off the show with Peggy Daywalker Morgan. How are you doing, young lady?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Great, Peggy. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
We'd like to welcome you to the Full Guard Fight Radio. You're on with Matthew and London. These guys are rocking, you know, Florida MMA, and you're at a major event coming up down there. How excited are you to be fighting on the CFA 10 card in the opening round of the tournament?
I'm super excited. I'm really excited to have a fight in general, but especially with CFA. I went down there for a CFA 9. It's a really awesome promotion. They put together a really good show. So to know I'm going to be fighting down there on that big stage, it's great.
Now, Peggy, you say you're really excited to have a fight. So does that mean, I'm looking at your record here, you fought last in June. I mean, have you had trouble finding fights, I guess, over the last few months?
Yeah, I've been trying to find a fight ever since that last one in June, and just nothing's come up for me. I've had a few things set up, and they just never went through. So,
right.
Knowing that I have a fight is great.
Okay, well, that's awesome. I mean, we hear that a lot on the show when we talk to fighters. How, you know, when you're up and coming, you know, it's kind of hard to book fights, and then if fights do get booked, sometimes you get a lot of backouts. You get people that don't show any respect and just, you know, aren't able, don't show up to the weigh-ins or whatever it is that goes wrong. So it is hard to get fights when you kind of, you know, kind of a younger fighter. So it's awesome that you do have a fight, which it's a big fight. You know, CFA is a great promotion here in Florida. They're huge, and to be like one of the few women chosen to be part of their inaugural tournament, that's pretty awesome. So I'm really excited for you.
Yeah, thank you. I am too. It's a great opportunity.
So what's a little bit of your backstory? I mean, like, you know, where do you come from? How did you get into the fight game? And, I mean, where do you fight out of?
I fight out of Triumph Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Nashua, New Hampshire. And I was actually originally a boxer. I started boxing, like, 6-7 years ago. And I was an amateur boxer for about 4 years. I went to the Nationals and everything. I was ranked second in the country for about 3 years, I think, as an amateur boxer. And then I ended up giving that up, and I thought I was done, and started doing jiu-jitsu just kind of for fun. And then from there, started getting in and sparring with the guys. We have a lot of really good fighters out of my gym and surrounding gyms that cross-train with us. So I started getting in and just mixing it up with them, and they kept saying, why aren't you fighting? Why are you just getting in and sparring and hitting mitts? And so I decided that after I got my blue belt in jiu-jitsu, I'd take up MMA because I wanted to have some ground game. I didn't want to get in and just count on my hands and feet. So as soon as I got my blue belt, I started looking for an MMA fight.
Hey, excuse me, Peggy. So you're a boxer, jiu-jitsu. I understand you do a little kickboxing as well. What's your favorite discipline?
Yeah.
You'd rather stand up? I'm assuming you'd rather stand up than go to the ground, or am I just assuming? You know what assume means?
I really like both. I think I'm still more comfortable on my feet, but I'm pretty happy on the ground too. I probably honestly train on the ground a little bit more at this point just because I'm not as comfortable there. I'm a little weaker there, so I've put a lot of time into that. And I have a lot of fun grappling. I have fun with both. I can't really say which one I like more. Like, I wouldn't go back to just straight boxing. I enjoy MMA too much.
Please don't take this the wrong way, but how does a woman get into boxing? I mean, it seems like maybe, you know, you come in kind of through like the karate back door maybe, but from straight to boxing, I mean, did you do any other sports prior to this, or I mean, was it just straight to, you know, I just want to punch ladies in the face?
This is my first real contact sport. I've done like track and volleyball and things like that. But boxing was definitely my first contact sport. And it's because I watched UFC and I thought, wow, that would be really cool to do. Because, I mean, I'm the type of girl that if I see something that I think is awesome, I'm going to try it even if it's like a more male-dominated thing. So it looked awesome to me, but I wasn't so sure I'd be comfortable grappling because obviously it involves rolling around on the ground with men, and I just wasn't sure I'd be comfortable with that. So I started with boxing thinking I'd feel better with it.
And as far as like wrestling and things, I know you said that, you know, you have a good time with it all, but are you more comfortable on the ground? I mean, you said you'd rather stand, but on the ground, are you comfortable at all being on the ground?
I'm very comfortable on the ground. I mean, I've competed in jiu-jitsu, and I've done jiu-jitsu every day for the last 2 years now. So I know my way around the mat.
So with all your training and everything that you've been working on, to get ready for your pro career and, you know, and have, you know, some of the titles. And what's the most difficult thing about stepping into this tournament format that you've come across?
I think it has to be the fact that I don't know what I'm going to be facing in the next round, and I have to be prepared for anything. Like, I really can't have a weakness, because before I was going to be facing a wrestler, and then they switched it over to Revelina, so now I'm facing a striker. So, and then in the next round, I could end up facing a strong Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu player. Like, I have to be ready to go up against anybody. And so I really have to work on my weaknesses a lot so that I'm able to, so that I have the tools I need to go up against anybody that I end up against.
Now I've got to say, I've said this before. I've told the guys this. I think the change in the first round suits you and your style very well, especially because she is a known striker. But I do feel, even if she was still doing her prime, I still give you the edge, especially with your feet. I mean, you have beautiful footwork in there. Do you feel, or are you concerned about her rust at all being a factor that maybe she's completely changed the way she fights?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, that's always a concern. And she's had 4 years, so hopefully for her sake she's been in and worked on some things and not just sat around. So, yeah, I mean, she could be a completely different fighter than what I've seen in videos. But, I mean, that can happen from fight to fight, too. Like, you get in with – I felt like my style has changed with each opponent I've gotten in with. So I'm pretty much prepared for anything. When I step into the cage, I'm not really scared. Like, I know anything they throw at me, I have an answer to. So I'm not worried. If she's a different girl, it's fine. I'll change up my approach and I'll do what it takes to win.
I think I ask every single person I talk to the same question. When you're in the cage, do you want to finish a fight quickly, spectacularly, you know, whatever, or would you rather get in there and kind of work on some things? I mean, if you have an opponent broken, I say, you know, would you rather work on something when you're in the cage? Instead of sparring, they always say, they always say that game time is way faster than practice time. So when you're in the cage,
I think amateur is probably the time to be working on things. If I see a finish, I'm going to take a finish. I'm not going to say, let this go because I really feel I need to work on my triangle, so I'm not going to take this arm bar. Like, that just seems silly, especially in a tournament. But if I'm not going to push a finish that isn't there, like, I'll chew my food if I have to and take my time.
I'll chew my food. I really appreciate that analogy. Now that after you said it, I'm thinking about it. So finishing a fight, no matter where you are in the fight, as long as you can finish, as long as you feel comfortable finishing, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. I just, I'm always curious that way because, you know, I always hear that people, you know, whether it be they want to be spectacular or they want to drag it out and whatever. So I appreciate that.
Go ahead, Lennon.
I just wanted to know, what do you do for fun? I mean, you can't be training all the time. You can't be doing, you know, you can't be getting ready for, you know, CFA 10 at all times. What do you do for fun?
Right now I'm not having a lot of fun. I find training fun, honestly. But, I mean, I live a pretty Spartan lifestyle at this point. I work. I have a 3-year-old son. I take care of him. I train as much as I possibly can. And at this point, like, my idea of fun is a nap. Like, going to sleep at 9 o'clock at night is a great time.
So is this camp been more, honestly, with your delays? I believe you said in another interview that you've basically had about a 12 to 14-week camp this time?
Yeah, it's been a long-ass camp.
Okay, yeah. Now, mentally, how does that wear on you? Because you've probably got your rhythm down for an 8 or a 13-week camp, you know, a specific time, and this camp keeps stretching on and on and on.
It's honestly not really bothered me. I've taken a couple days off here and there just to give my body a rest, and I come back fine. I really, actually really enjoy training, so it really hasn't bothered me that much at all. And I mean, a big part of the fight game is just understanding that there are going to be backouts. It seems like you said earlier, that's kind of more the norm than a fight actually going through and everything happening like it should. So rather than getting stressed out because fights are falling through, I kind of just accept it and keep working and be like, well, now I have 5 more weeks to get better at this or to work on that so that when I do get in, it's going to be perfect.
Peggy, take me through a weight cut. Take me through the end of your camp. This weight cut thing is a phenomenon to me. Take me through where you're at right now. Now I'm assuming you're pretty much finished here with your camp coming up because your fight, what is it, in a couple weeks?
Yeah, I'm fighting in 3 weeks. So I still have
yeah.
about 15 pounds to go. I'm probably going to get rid of about 8 or 9 of those pounds before I leave for Miami, and the rest I'll just dehydrate.
And that's what you just do when you're cutting weight. You kind of obviously very strict diet coming up into the couple weeks here, and then you just sweat it out, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Real strict diet, real limited carbs, and then sit in the sauna.
I got to be honest, man. I like my food. I don't know if I can do
me
that.
Too. It's rough. It's definitely. I think it's the roughest part. It's also, like, I've kind of come to appreciate the weight cut. It's not something I did in amateur boxing because they did day of weigh-ins. So the most you cut is maybe 2 or 3 pounds because you weigh in and then fight an hour or two later maybe. So you couldn't do these insane cuts. But I actually kind of enjoy cutting weight because, I mean, I hate it. I hate it when it's happening. I'm going to want to kick myself forever having said this. Somebody's going to bring it up and I'm going to tone to ask themselves. But, like, as an athlete, it's kind of an interesting thing because it really forces you to focus on the fight. Like, there's, you know, 24, 36 hours where I'm not eating or drinking. I'm, like, wringing all the moisture out of my body. You can't forget for a second that you're about to get in the cage and, like, be locked in there for 15 minutes with somebody else who wants to hurt you. And it also, just being that hungry and thirsty kind of sends you into, like, an altered state of consciousness. It's very zen-like. It's, like, a really good place to focus from. So, in some respects, I kind of like the weight cut.
Do you like study? Hang on 1 second, do you like study Zen? I mean, you have some very like intellectual thoughts of going into these fights. It's kind of incredible. You're gonna go in there and like you know beat up on people, and you're talking about you know it's you know your state of being and things. It's just incredible. I mean, I appreciate that.
Thanks. No, I don't study Zen at all. I'm actually like a very not Zen person, but.
I was kind of being, you know, glib about it, but I mean, you definitely look at things in a pretty enlightening way. I feel like I just want to sit here and meditate while I'm listening to you, so I appreciate it.
You're probably the only one who feels that way. So that's awesome.
I was gonna say. I mean, she's talking about you know hating weight cuts. You know, I mean, I don't know anybody that enjoys weight cuts, and I wonder. Basically, I guess what I want to ask is, like, is it frustrating? I don't know, you know, about anybody you train with or whatever, but I train with some fighters here at a local gym, and we have a guy there, Dean Stupar. He's a young fighter. He loves the weight cuts. It's like it's cake for him. He'll cut the weight like it's nothing, and all the other guys at the gym, like, kind of like, you know, they're jealous. It kind of it frustrates them because some of these guys are busting their ass hardcore to really cut that weight. So, I mean, I don't know if you train with anybody like that, but is it kind of frustrating to see that? Like, to somebody that can cut weight so easily and you're, like, busting your ass trying to cut the weight and get on weight and stuff? I mean, how does that make you? Is that frustrating
or what? It's
actually
harder for females to cut weight, which it's taken me a while to convince the guys I train with of this. Because we have more body fat, it's harder to get moisture out of body fat than it is out of lean muscle. So it is actually a lot harder for me in the final stage to do the weight cut. Even just losing weight a lot of times is harder for women just because of the way we're constructed. So, yeah, sometimes I get frustrated, especially if somebody's like, oh, you can fight at 135, 125, no problem. I'm like, no, I can't. Like, this is killing me.
I have one question. We've been talking about you know, a lot of different things here. And, you know, I know your opponent is did you say she's a striker? Is that
mm-hmm.
Can I? Yeah, she's had three. I mean, she's had three wins, and she's won a fight in all different ways: a KO, a submission, and decision. Is this something that you're concerned about that she can? I mean, she could go the distance. How's your cardio? Are you ready to go the distance if you need to?
Oh, my cardio is awesome, and I've had one pro fight, which was a decision, but my amateur fights, one was a KO and one was a submission. So, as far as that goes. Like, I feel like we're pretty even. I'm not overly concerned. Honestly, I feel like if it goes to the ground, I'm stronger than she is. Like, I feel like physically I'm probably stronger than she is. So I'm not overly concerned about that.
And you are a little bit taller than her. Your reach, is that something that you really focus on? I mean, I know, you know, I'm kind of a taller guy myself, but do you focus on your reach in things?
I think at this point it's kind of natural to me just from all the boxing to, like, I use my jab a lot, obviously, to, like, set things up just from years of amateur boxing, which is more based on punching them more times than you can punch you. You get good at using your reach and not letting them get in on you. So, yeah, I'd say it is.
Fair enough. Hey, we really appreciate you coming on tonight. Anybody, before we let you go, anybody you want to give a shout-out to, anybody you want to, you know, say thank you to, where can we find you also on Facebook, Twitter, you know, Pinterest? I don't know what any of that stuff.
Instagram.
Yeah, I don't have one of those. My Facebook is just my name, Peggy Morgan, and then I'm on Twitter at Peggy Morgan MMA. And then shout out to Triumph BJJ and my trainer, John Fain, and all of my training partners. I won't list them all. I will bore you. And then NLA Performance, Cameron Chiropractic, and Throat Punch Industries for my sponsors.
Thank you. Thanks. Real quick, before we go, where did Daywalker come from?
Oh, it's because there's an episode of South Park where they talk about I have red hair and I'm not very freckly.
The ginger episode.
Episode of what's that?
The ginger episode.
Yeah, the gingers and the daywalkers. So the gingers have the freckles and the daywalkers don't. So one of my training partners would always say, "I'm going to choke this ginger," and I'd say, "I'm a daywalker." So we got in an argument about that before my first fight, and he went and told the ring announcer to announce me as the daywalker. And it was the ring announcer did. I didn't even know what was happening, and it's kind of just stuck ever since then.
That's awesome.
Fair enough. Thank you. Wish you the best of luck. Good luck. Good luck on March 2nd. Come back after you win, and we'll talk about your next fight. How's that?
For sure. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Peggy. Have a good one, Peggy.
Yeah.
And for everybody, have a good night, young lady. And for everybody out there, CFA 10 will be available for pay-per-view on Ustream. You can go to Ustream and Google or Google Championship Fighting Alliance. Go to their Facebook. Go to their website, CFAFights.com. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster if you're in the area. It's going to be down there at the University of Miami in Coral Gables at the Bank United Center. You guys definitely want to get out there for this card.
Yeah. Hey, Jason, you know, I'm looking at this fight card right now, and the main event is somebody we've talked to, somebody that I became a fan of after talking to the guy. It's the Hammer, James McSweeney. So I know when we were talking to him.
Smashed! Deion Sari is going to tear him up.
We'll see about that. I don't know, man. James is hungry. When we talked to him, he was chomping at the bits, man. He was hungry for a fight.
I'm glad to see him in the main event. Matthew, I got to tell you, either way, both you and London, whether or not he wins this fight or not, Deion, if the rumors are true that he's looking to drop to 205, I said this when he was overseas. When he was fighting over there, I said, this guy's a 205-er. He needs to go down to 205. If this guy goes down to 205, he will make waves in MMA. I guarantee it.
I'm a huge James McSweeney fan. I really am, and I've always been a fan of his. And he does great work.
He's a badass.
He definitely is. But I'm looking forward to seeing Deion here. So. If you know, Skippy, I trust you, man. You've never steered me astray. So, you know, if he's a badass, then I'm looking forward to seeing it, brother.
I believe it.
Let me ask you a question. Is it you that is looking to get the tattoo, the MMA Madhouse tattoo?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'm getting the tattoo. Look, I've already got it lined out. It's going to be 18 inches down my rib cage, 11 inches wide. And it's going to be the
same
stickers.
What about the one on the back of the head?
We're not getting it on the back of the head. No, that's some fools from another show trying that stuff.
I don't think LaPati would be happy with that. I'm pretty sure LaPati's plainly stated he wants that tattoo on the back of your head.
I thought it was going on my rib cage.
I keep seeing back of the head all over Facebook, man.
Yeah. It's ready to go, guys. We can talk about that in a second. We have a special guest,
Alana Jones,
with us. Yes, sir, Alana Jones. How are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
We're good. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, we're doing fantastic.
Right
away, I wanna ask you about your nickname here, the Hands of Stone. Are you gonna deliver those Hands of Stone to Taylor Stratford?
Yes, that's what I'm training for.
That's awesome. Where'd you get the nickname? Is it as plain as it sounds? You know, you just got Hands of Stone, you come out and somebody along the way gave you the nickname, or how'd the nickname come about?
Yeah, that's kind of how it went about. I got some of the best hands in Michigan, so a friend of mine gave it to me, so I just kind of went with it.
Well, you can't just say Michigan, young lady. You got to say Ohio, too. You went down there to NAAFS, man, and you laid some ladies eat that leather all night long. So you got big hands outside of Michigan, too. I've seen your fights. Your last one at, I think it was Challenge 21, when you fought down there, Ashley Hawkins, and maybe it was two ago, but when you fought Ashley Hawkins, man, your hands, they were hurting that girl.
Yeah, I'm a strong striker, so I like to do.
So how All excited right. are you to go into this CFA tournament?
Well, my manager told me about it. I just thought it would be a huge opportunity to get on the card and fight some tough girls.
So, Alana, I mean, how did you get into the fight game? You know, you've been in it a long time. Something you kind of grew up with, or how did you get in the fight game? You got the hell of an amateur record, you know, and I know this is a huge fight. So, you know, kind of give us an overview of how you've gotten to this point in your fight career.
Well, I've always liked fighting, always watched boxing growing up as a kid, and it's always had an interest of it. I got into MMA because I just like the whole fact that you can punch, you can mix it up with jiu-jitsu, kicks and striking, so I really like that. When I first started out, I was like over 200 pounds, and it was mostly just I got into training to lose weight and everything, and then my brothers were fighting, so it kind of struck my interest in doing it.
Right on. And you train out of American Muscle MMA up there?
Yeah, I train out of Salados MMA out of Lansing, Michigan.
Okay. And I mean, you know, what causes, you know, some people... We see a lot of variances in how people take amateur fights and stuff. You know, some people will, you know, down here in Florida, there's a rule of five amateur fights before you go pro. If you choose mm-hmm. to go that way, there's some people that hang around in the amateurs for a while. This guy, Charles Rosa, he racked up like a 16-2 amateur record before going pro. I mean, what went through your decision to, you know, did you want to rack up the amateur fights and get that good experience before going pro to kind of make sure that you were ready? Or, you know, did you just, was it easier to pick up those amateur fights? You know, what went into your decision to take so many amateur fights?
It was mainly just for the experience. You know, I didn't want to jump pro too soon. I wanted to make sure I was ready for it. And, you know, I felt like, you know, I fought some of the toughest girls as an amateur out of Ohio, so I felt like I was finally ready to make that big step to go on pro.
Hey, let me ask you, with your ability as an amateur to get to travel, and how much do you think that's going to help you taking this fight so far from home?
I think it'll help a lot. I mean, I don't have a problem traveling outside. I mean, I prefer to travel and fight. I mean, I think I love traveling outside of state. So I mean,
hey.
It's not a problem for me.
that's great because it gives you a chance and an experience that a lot of amateurs don't get because they fight mostly in their hometown.
Mostly, it was because I couldn't find fights out here in Michigan, and my coach got me a fight out in Ohio. And my first opponent was against Maria Macer. Say it again.
Yeah, you got. I mean, and you got a big opponent coming up here. CFA 10. excuse me, Taylor Strafford. Quite the record for this young girl. I mean, she's got one career loss, and that's to the Rowdy Ronda Rousey. I mean, what do you? You give different preparation for a girl who, I mean, what's your preparation like been for her? You know, how are you preparing? Are you preparing for her different than you have other opponents, or what are you factoring into this fight camp?
I'm basically, you know, training for everything, ground, tighten up my striking. Mostly, I'm working more on my ground than anything. I bet for every fight I train for everything, whether it's ground striking or cage defense, anywhere. I like to be prepared for wherever the fight's going to go. So, I mean, I'm training hard for her. I know she's a tough opponent. and I'm pretty excited to go against her.
Right on. And now being that you're from Michigan and, you know, primarily, you know, so far away from this Miami area, how'd you get hooked up with the CFA guys?
I was talking to Slade Bitter about it, and then I had my manager, Dan Waterman, on it, and he kind of just locked in the fight for me. I mean, I thought it would be a huge opportunity to fight for CFA, so I just, you know, thought it would be a good idea.
Yeah, it was a great idea, but more than a good idea, man. I mean, they're a huge promotion down here. They got a lot going on. They work hard, those guys. They're constantly signing big time fighters down here in this Florida area, and I mean that's a huge opportunity for you. You know, young fighter, you got to put together a very impressive amateur record. You know, 1-1 as a pro right now, and this is an opportunity to make a huge statement in professional MMA with a vacant title on the line. So I think you made a great decision.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm really, really excited about it.
You ever been down here to Florida?
No, it would be my first time.
You got to experience the East Coast. There's not a lot of great stuff over here on the West Coast where I'm located and my co-host too. But the East Coast of Florida is fantastic. Miami, that whole area is great. So I'm sure you'll be coming down here.
I mean, that's the biggest reason to go down there. Who doesn't want to go hang out down there? I mean, they put on the best cards and young ladies.
Yeah, I'm really excited to go down there. I've never been before. I've heard great things about it, though.
You want to talk about exposure. You watch your Facebook and Twitters explode after the first press conference all the way to weigh-ins, man, because these guys,
absolutely,
not only do they sell probably the top product, I believe, on the East Coast, these guys know how to promote it. I mean, you're very
blessed
to come onto a stage like this. And before we run out of time with you, because we are going to get to spend some time with the promoter in just a minute, I want you to have a time to give a shout-out to any fans, sponsors, any social media, so we can all follow you.
I'll basically like to give a shout-out to Title Shot. They're going to be sponsoring me for this fight. To all my coaches and training partners that's helping me get ready for this fight. Yep, and to, you know, my teammates is Salados, Lansing, Michigan. That's about it.
Where can they find you on Twitter and Facebook?
Oh, it's HandsOfStone_1. That's the Twitter. And my Facebook is just my name, Alana Jones.
Well, Miss Alana, you know, we wish you the best of luck coming up here at CFA 10, March 2nd in Miami. And so all your fans listening tonight and all the fans around the world know, they are going to be able to watch you no matter where you live. If you can't make it to this great event live, you're going to be able to kick back on your couch, and we're going to get to watch you lay some leather on Taylor Strafford.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Have a great night, Alana. Thanks for joining us.
You too. Thank you.
Oh yeah, she's a tough girl, man. I've seen some of her fights, like I said, especially down there at NAAFS, and she can throw some leather. And speaking of that, I say we bring in the top dog himself from CFA. I believe George, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. Thank you very much for having me.
Welcome to Full Guard
Fight Radio. Hey, not a problem, man. It's an honor, dude. Absolute honor.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much, man.
Hey, right off the bat, man, I'm psyched to talk to you because I got a couple questions about some fighters that you guys have signed recently that I was super psyched about. First off, you guys signed Charles Rosa not that long ago. He's already debuted for you, won very quick and very convincing fashion. What went into the signing of him? I know that Charles McCarthy works hard for him, and they're constantly, promoting their guys out of ATT. So, I mean, you know, how'd you find him? What about him impressed you in order for you to want to sign him?
Well, there's a lot about me that people don't know. I'm actually a fighter. I used to own my own American Top Team down here in Miami. Yeah, I call myself a fighter because I'm actually 0-9. I've done 9 CFA shows, and I haven't made money yet, but I'm still trying. I'm fighting. I'm not giving up. So I'm a fighter. Just like the fighters, you know, they fight and they want to prove a point. And they want to get known and they want to get the exposure. I'm the same way. I'm not giving up. And CFA are definitely going to make. They're definitely going to make it to the next level. And I, you know, thank you again. Thank you guys again for giving me the time and the exposure to talk to your friends and stuff like that. Going back to Charles Rosa, yeah, I used to own my own American top team down here in Miami, and that's how I met Charles McCarthy. So we've been friends for a long time. I've known Charles for a while. So he brought Charles Rosa to my attention, and I love the kid. I mean, the kid is constantly promoting, very good-looking kid, very articulate, great fighter. I mean, one of the best amateur fighters there's ever been nationwide, to be honest with you. You know, and a good prospect. Is the guy's going to be a great prospect in Miami, great prospect for CFA, and we right away jump on the opportunity of signing him.
Right on. And now, I do believe you guys also signed Dervin Pioneer Lopez, and that's another one where guy I happen to know, have a lot of respect for, very humble guy, but a very, very talented fighter. What do you guys got? Anything planned for Dervin, or what's on the horizon there for him?
Guys, it's funny how Florida has, in my book right now, one of the top talents nationwide. I mean, Florida in the past few years have gone crazy. I mean, the level of fights that we're putting together at CFA right now and all the promotions out there, it's a pretty high level of fights. I mean, we're bringing kids every time we fly somebody in. You know, and they're expecting something different. And when, you know, we have a very high level of fights, and Lopez is definitely going to put on a hell of a show as well. He's a great fighter. I mean, we're scouting top talent. We're not looking around, you know, looking for guys that have a losing record. We're looking for guys that are top talent that want to come in and showcase their skills and put on a show. I mean, I was talking to Pat Miletic in our last show, and he was freaking out. I was like, George, man, you guys have real, real talent in here. I mean, these kids are not holding back. These kids are going in there to fight, and the level of fighting is pretty high. He wasn't even expecting that.
Hey, George, you said one of your first comments was you're a fighter. I'm looking to make money. You're still looking to make money. What brings you into the promoter realm? How did you decide you wanted to put on a promotion?
I opened my own American top team back in 2008 with Conan Civeda, and I started training. I actually have a black belt in karate.
Okay.
And I started training at the gym, and all of a sudden they submitted me in less than a minute. I was like, man, what is this? Is this called? This is called jiu-jitsu. I was like, man, this is so gay, but I love it. I want to do this. I mean, I saw these guys grappling and submitting each other. I was like, man, I really want to do this. And they kept submitting me and submitting. I couldn't believe it. So they took me. I actually was training jiu-jitsu one whole day from 10 o'clock in the morning to almost 10 o'clock at night. And I would throw up in between and just go at it again. Hey, can you do that again? Now I know that move. You're not going to do it again. And they would do it again and again and again. So I started training jiu-jitsu right away. And I fell in love with the sport. I started following, mixed martial arts, the UFC. And I did my first show. I actually became a promoter back in 2008 with another promotion that I used to own, MFA. And I did the first show December 13th of 2008 with Bobby Lashley, his pro debut, and Rico Rodriguez and versus Jeff Munson's rematch. That was actually my first event that I ever put together. And, I mean, it kind of like took off from there, man. I fell in love with what I was doing. I saw it was going to be very hard. I was 26 at the time. I mean, when I called the commission, everybody thought I was crazy. You're going to start doing what? You're going to become a promoter? You're crazy, man. This is full of sharks. You know what you're getting into, George. And you know, I love when people tell me that I can't do something and that it's hard and the infrastructure that you need. And it was like everything was completely against me. You know, it was like all the odds were completely against what I had in mind. And I love that. I mean, it's just fuel to my flames, to be honest with you. And it just kind of like, they took off from there. I had to take a little time off on 2010 because I had a heart surgery, open heart surgery. So I took some time off, and right back on it, man. Right back on the horse again, and you know we're not giving up. I mean, and I'm blessed to have the partner that I have. To be honest with you, that he believes in the sport, he believes in everything that we're doing because he's taking a lot of investment. And, you know, most of the people, they think they're going to go into a show, MMA show, and make money. And it's really not the way it is. You know, we're our ninth show. We're still not making money. But, you know, we don't look at it as, you know, we're losing money. We're investing money on the sport. And we're creating something. We're creating a platform for these kids that need a platform to fight before they go to a big show. You know, and you know, that's what we're doing for these fighters. And signing these fighters, you know, it completely changed the whole dynamic of CFA. Now these kids are, you know, endorsing CFA, talking very well about CFA. Our production level has gone pretty high. And, man, I'm very excited with you know, the girls' tournament. The girls has opened a lot of doors. This girls, you know, and I've been going back-to-back interviews this week, and I keep repeating myself, but I've seen some of these girls training, and man, to be honest with you, it's amazing. It's amazing. This the level of the skill set that these girls have, I hadn't seen a year ago. Now, all of a sudden, all these girls that are training and becoming professionals, I mean, you see them sparring with the boys, and some of the boys, if they're not pro and they're, you know, in the amateur careers, they're getting their ass whooped by these girls. I mean, it's crazy, man.
How did you decide you want to do the ladies? Was it just you could tell the passion there, or just, you know, you saw a niche that needed to be filled, or how do you decide that?
Man, I've always been a big fan of Jessica Aguilar. You know, me and Dad go way back again. You know, I used to train the American Top Team, so we met there, and I've always been a big fan of her. I've always been to most of her fights, and I love girls' fights. It's just, you know, it sort of happened that I love girls' fights, but, you know, like Dana White used to say a lot of the time, there wasn't, you know, enough girls to put a tournament or to have, you know, other girls competing. It was just hard to find girls. And, you know, I started doing my homework, calling a few places here and there, and I started finding out that there was talent out there. There's talent out there, and there's girls that you know, couldn't find opponents, and we started doing the matchmaking. We right away got to work, and I'm excited, man. I'm really excited about the 8 girls that we have put together. These girls are not, you know, I mean, I don't know who's going to even go past the quarterfinals. I mean, it's a very exciting tournament, to be honest with you. It's very, you know, and very, all the girls are very high-level girls. You know, anybody can win on the quarterfinals. You know, there's not an advantage in any of the matches, to be honest with you.
George, I know you're gonna tell me, and I'm gonna appreciate it, but looking at the card, what fight are you most excited about watching?
Oh my God, man! Every card I get asked the same question, and you know I'm the matchmaker. I'm the matchmaker at CFA as well. I love doing the matchmaking.
Okay.
So when, again, we don't favorite any of the guys. We're not grooming guys to go to a big show. We're building champions. You know, we're just giving the guys the opportunity to showcase their skills. And you know when I sit down and put these fights together, I'm not thinking of protecting any other fighters. I mean, I'm a promoter, and as a promoter, I think my job is to give, you know, the best fights to the fans. You know, that's how I think as a promoter, that, you know, my job is to put the best fight for the fans to enjoy, you know. And then, you know, obviously whoever has the biggest skill set and, you know, mentally ready for that fight is going to win. And then, so, I mean, when you ask me that question, man, there's a couple fights that I'm very, very excited about. You talk about Deion Starring, who just fought, you know, in Strikeforce, the last show in Strikeforce. I mean, that's in the main event. Now it's going to be the main event at TFA. That's huge. I mean, when I went after this kid and signed him, I was, you know, very, very proud that we were able to do that. And you know, again, he fought at heavyweight when this kid really fights at 205.
Right.
You know, he's a great striker. He's going to fight. He's going to be fighting James McSweeney, who's a great striker as well. Very, you know, very exciting fighter. So anything that's an exciting fight that I want to see. Two big boys going in there and you know, trying to rip each other's head off. To be honest with you, so I'm excited about the main event. I'm excited about the rematch with Jordan Parson and Danny Chavez. They fought for the featherweight title and they went to decision. You know, it was, you know, Jordan Parson kept taking Danny Chavez down, and Danny right now is a totally different kid. He was so very disappointed on that fight. He's been training a lot on his ground, and you know, he's been asking me, dying to get fight this guy again for, you know, for get the Jordan Parson for a rematch. Jordan Parson was another shot at the featherweight champion. So does Danny. Danny thinks he deserves a shot at the champion. So I said, you know what, both of you guys have to fight and see what happens. You know, due to the fact that Danny won his last fight and Jordan Parson lost his last fight, you know, it only makes sense to put them to fight to see who's going to take the shot, you know. So that's another fight that I'm excited about. Then you got Oscar Delgado and Byron Bird at 185. Yeah, I mean, you guys have seen these kids fight before, man. They go in there, they don't hold back. They just get in front of each other, get in the pocket, and start swinging. That's it. You know, that's an exciting fight as well. You got Junior Caranta, who's, man, I've seen this kid train. You probably don't know much about this kid, but Junior is 6'6", 245 pounds. And you see this kid training with Overeem, and you'll be like, man, I can't believe this guy is 1-0. Yeah, he is 1-0 as a heavyweight and as a pro, you know, in MMA. But the guy is really stunning, and he has a lot of fights on kickboxing fights. And I think he's gonna be he looks like Jon Jones, just a heavyweight version of Jon Jones, to be honest with you. The guy looks very good. Then you got Walt Harris, who's 6'6", 245 pounds as well, 5-1 in MMA. I mean, these are big boys. These are big boys, and that's something that we're going to start working on. We're going to start working on our heavyweight division. I'm dying to have a heavyweight title on the line pretty soon. So I'm excited about that fight as well. Then you got, the whole card is stacked. I mean, you're going to make me go through a 14. No, I can go on and and go through a 14 fight, to be honest with you. I love every fight on this card.
No, I'm not asking you to do that. Listen, I'm partial to the heavyweights. I'm a heavyweight myself. So if you have any need for amateur heavyweights, you let me know. You give me the call. I'm ready to go.
We're gonna surprise the world a lot with, you know, pretty soon with the, you know, some of the amateur things that are happening. So
all right, keep me in mind. All right,
now.
For sure, George. Before we let you go, my friend, anybody you want to give a shout out to? I know you got a ton of sponsors and you got a ton of people that you're looking to thank for this. So the floor is yours, my friend. Tell us where we can find you. Tell us how we can get tickets. You know, give us the lowdown.
Okay, I really want to thank our sponsors real quick. Jacko Apparel, for sure. Throw Punch. Sion. I want to thank Sion, the card as well. Who else am I missing? Sergio Spring. Am I missing somebody else? I'm horrible with you know, mentioning the sponsors. Then on Twitter, you guys can follow us at CFA Fights. And Facebook, Championship Fighting Alliance. The Instagram, I think, is CFA Fights as well. And, man, I want to thank you guys. You know, thank you for the opportunity of, you know, speaking so highly about CFA, giving the girls, you know, an opportunity to speak out as well and you know, interact with your fans. And thank you, man, from the bottom of my heart. You know, thank you for the opportunity and thank you for supporting CFA.
Hey, thanks for taking the time. And I'll tell you right now, as somebody who's out here on the West Coast, I will be buying the pay-per-view. I'm super excited to see it.
The pay-per-views are definitely going to be on Ustream for $7.95. To buy tickets, I cannot give you that information yet because we have some sort of surprise that we want to be giving out on Monday for the fans down here in Florida. So I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to get this contract in before I get ahead of myself.
Fair enough. Well, hey, George, thank you so much for all your time tonight. We wish you the best and to talk to you on the next round of the tournament.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Hey, have a good night, brother.
Thanks.
Yeah, guys. Dude, what a kick-ass deal, man. Pro 145 tournament. But, you know, I'm super excited about that, but I'm not going to lie. Right now we're about to kick off a Showdown Fights 10 preview, presser, live press conference, whatever you want to call it. And this is all sponsored by GoFight Live TV. These guys are going to have show fights sitting there tonight. They're running show fights, previous shows for free on the rebroadcast. And we're going to start off with somebody who, I've said this a lot to a lot of people in the media world around the country. To me, this is one of the top guys in the country. This dude is for real. And if anybody out there doubts his hands, I dare you to step into the cage with him because he will prove it to you. Clay Collard, how are you tonight, brother?
I'm doing awesome. How are you guys?
Oh, doing great, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You know, welcome to Go Fight Live. We're a show based out of Florida, broadcast worldwide, and Go Fight Live came to us and said, man, we got this great card, Showdown Fights 10. It's kicking off in Utah. You know, you guys want to have some of them. And when they said I could have you on the show, you can ask the boys. I came to them and said, let's do this, man. We got to have you on because – I want to talk about it before we get too deep into Show Fights 10. Show Fights 9, you win against a nasty veteran who has taken a lot of top dogs out and taken them out in sometimes easy fashion. And you went in there against Stephen Sharp, and you laid leather on this dude like I've never seen. This fight, and I say this to people, this is a Stephen Bonner, Forrest Griffin style fight. This is the reason why fans come to local MMA. This is why you should support local MMA. That fight right there was one of the greatest fights I've ever seen, and it was last year's runner-up for us for Fight of the Year.
Awesome.
You got to tell me, how did you feel when they called the fight?
I thought they should have called it sooner, honestly. I mean, he was just kind of dead in the water all through, like, halfway through the first round and that whole second round. I mean, he was still throwing, but there was no power in his shot. So I was just waiting for him to drop, honestly. I don't know how he took that much punishment because I was really laying it on him. So as soon as he dropped, it was kind of a relief, honestly. I was sick that day.
That's right.
I was sick. I was coughing up. And so when they called it, I was like, finally, like, I can catch my breath again. I don't know.
It definitely shows that in that second round, you did look a little gassed, but for some reason, the way you were working the angles and the way you were pushing him into the corner to work him over, you didn't seem to be, you know, expelling that much energy. You weren't chasing him down, per se, you know?
Yeah. All my training, I guess, kicked in, going to fight mode. That's what happened.
Now, with that fight going the way it did, you've been that way. You've been pretty dominant throughout your whole career. And, you know, you fought two guys who a lot consider should be in the UFC, and Castillo and Buchholz. And I believe Buchholz and Castillo fought that night after you for the title. When that fight happened and your fight was over, did you feel instantly your name should be right there in the mix against the winner?
Oh, of course. I don't know if anybody saw the Buckles fight, but I put it on him. I beat him for three rounds.
You did?
Most people say that was one of the best fights they've ever seen also. I've had, you know, Coach Hackelman tell me that, you know, that was one of the best fights he's ever seen. And that dude's seen countless fights, you know. So,
yeah.
I put it on him and just got caught in a choke at the very last round. Got caught with a head kick that kind of ringed me, and then I shot in, and he ended up putting the choke on me. But I would love to fight him again because I'll kill him. I'll kill him. If they don't stop it off, I'll kill it.
And for everybody out there, the fight he's talking about, you can go to GoFightLive.tv and still buy it and own it, because I do, and I've watched that fight you're talking about probably eight times, that event, in a whole entirety, probably five times. You know, and you're right. That was another amazing fight. And I believe that's why Scott and them have decided to put you on the main and really showcase you. And I believe that you should be showcased. You're probably one of the toughest guys in any weight class that they have on their cards, but you're definitely got to be the most exciting fighter as a fan to watch. And, you know, your excitement, you know, it caught you in that fight with Buchholz. When you got back home to the gym, what was the first thing you guys decided to do after that loss?
I actually switched gyms after that. I was down in Colorado with a little gym in a garage. I just had a boxing coach hitting mitts, working with James Martinez, who will always be my boy. But he got me ready for that fight, and then, I mean, I had no sparring partners that could hang with me. So I ended up switching over to the Pit and coming back to Utah. And then Jason Mertledge has just changed my game. My jiu-jitsu is much better, even in these couple months. So, yeah.
Are you trying to tell me that from when you fought Kyle Herrera, always Justin Buchholz, you were training out of a garage?
Okay, this is how it was. Kyle Herrera, I was training in my high school with a wrestling coach and my dad hitting mitts with me. And then I went to Colorado just because they had a couple more guys. I mean, I had no sparring partners, nobody to push me. I was hitting mitts with my dad and working with my wrestling coach. And then I went to Colorado because it was an upgrade, and now I'm with the Pit.
Oh, my dude. So basically you're telling me that not only do I pick the greatest fighters in the country, but you're just now getting to get to a legitimate place like the Pit to where you can really showcase and be fine-tuned and be tested? Oh, my gosh. You guys better watch out. This guy's going to take everybody's name and hang it on his wall.
That's the plan.
Oh, shit. I see. I assumed, honestly, that when you were in Colorado that you were, you know, maybe at altitude, you know, or one of those, you know, gyms up there, you know. I just assumed it. I never really researched exactly what gym. But to say that you went to the list of guys you did, like Luke Pearson, Dustin Collins, and Scotty Casey, and all these guys without being in a top-notch facility with those kind of, oh, man, you were definitely more talented than I thought.
Yeah.
Oh.
I did. I mean, I have over 70 amateur, and I have been wrestling since I was 6 years old too. So, a lot of it came from that. But, yeah.
Dude, yeah. Your hands, though, was you in the Pit, and honestly, anybody out there who knows, you have got some fantastic, top-notch coaches there. These guys who could take your footwork and your hands and keep progressing them to make them even more surgical with your wrestling background, you're going to be an unstoppable force. I mean, the bigger shows are going to have to take notice, especially in my book, after you beat Jordan Clemens, because I'm not to be no disrespect to anybody, I love showdown fights, and I think they gave you a tough opponent, but, you know, I keep hearing, oh, he beat Junie Brownie. I don't care. That guy was never, honestly, going to be a great. I don't believe he was. So
Jordan actually asked for me. Scott said, because he kind of padded his record not fighting very many tough people. I mean, the only two guys that even gave him a challenge were Junie, who didn't want to fight that night, and Dave Castillo, who after that fight, he popped positive for steroids.
Yeah.
So both those fights, you can scratch off, and then everybody else he fought has been nobody. The last guy he fought, he's from my hometown. He smokes a pack of cigarettes a day. He doesn't train. Like, those are the guys they're getting for him. And he said, I'm ready for anybody. I'll even take callers. And so that's a low blow to me that he's asking for me. Like he should be afraid of me. So I'm sick of him, and I'm ready to put it on him tomorrow night.
I can't believe he called you out. I'll be honest. After the last fight, you know, the few of us from Madhouse over here on the West Coast who watched your fight live, we all said, who's going to step up? I mean, you made a blatant statement that you're there and you're not going to, you know, a seasoned veteran who was favored to beat you isn't going to slow you down. So I got to say, with this fight coming up, you beat Jordan like you feel you should and like a lot of us think you will. Do you call out the title holder?
Honestly, I don't care. I don't care who they give me. I would love to smash Buckles, don't get me wrong, but I love fighting. It doesn't matter who they put in front of me. Eventually, somebody's going to take notice, and I'm moving up in the ranks. So, yeah, anybody who's willing to fight me is brave enough.
Well, you know, I think Showdown Fights, you know, they've put on some amazing cards. You know, we've mentioned, you know, a couple of the events that you've been on, you know, and in the past cards, you know, they've got to, for a fan, and they are very big about that, about letting fans kind of pick fights, you know, say what we want to see. I got to say, you do what you're supposed to do this tomorrow night. It's over. Fans are going to call for that rematch because he is the title holder. Now, I do understand that he's supposed to be fighting for another organization maybe, but then if that's the case, then if it becomes vacant, I think your name should still be thrown in there. I think you have a right to take that title and run that division and clean it out again if that's what it takes. You know, I don't think there's any people there that can make a run for your money.
I'm also thinking the drop into 45 also. This weight cut was so easy for me that's probably my next move.
That's scary. Are you shitting me, bro? You're talking about dropping down to 145? Wow. That's scary for that division.
Yeah.
Dude, well, I tell you what. You drop down to 145, man, people better start running because the power you have, oh, man. Yeah, and like I said, you're at a great gym with the Pit, man. You know, they dude, wow. If they can get you to make a 155 and you say it was an easy cut, 145, man, that's where we're going to see you destroy people again.
Yes, sir.
So how do you feel? I mean, weigh-ins are done. What are you mounting on?
Oh, I'm going to go play me some Super Smash Brothers Brawl, get ready for the fight.
So you're going to just kick back at the hotel with your team then, or are you going to go back to the house? Or?
Yeah, I'm hanging out with a buddy tonight, one of my good friends, who he trains at the gym. But I don't like to think about my fights. But I like to be really relaxed. So, you know, I don't go home and sit and ponder about the fight. I just let it happen. Like, I'm trained. I'm ready. My coaches, you know, we got our game plan. So I just gonna kick it till it's time to beat somebody down.
So what do you do for fun when you're not training and getting ready for a fight?
Oh man, I don't know. I do a lot of stuff. Hang
you
out.
To-
I love going to other fights. I always go corner, you know, friends. I like going back home, seeing my family, my little brothers, my older brother. We're all really, really close. Oh, and those are other two kids you're going to have to watch out for because my little brothers are both better than me, and they're 17 and 15, so they'll be coming up pretty soon.
That's scary. That's really cool, though. You know, definitely we love knowing about talent that's coming up, which you getting a chance to be in the Utah area, do you ever get a chance to go down to Moab and run those red rocks?
Oh, yeah. River rafting down there is one of my favorite things to do, going down river rafting down in Moab. Or jet skiing. My family has a boat. We love going out to the lake, going wakeboarding and whatnot.
Yeah, dude, that's a great place to go hang out, man. It's a beautiful country. We've been down there quite a bit to party and run those roads. I love all the four-wheelers you can rent. I mean, they got every kind of four-wheeler.
And I'm from such a small, little podunk town that, I mean, that's what we do. Go four-wheeling out, killing rabbits, you know, going to the lake. My lake, it's called Joe's Valley. If you're ever in Emery County, I suggest you go to Joe's Valley because it's the bomb.
Well, you know, I definitely I can't say enough. You know, as a fan, you know, I really appreciate you coming to hang out with us and talk to us. I mean, this, you know, let's be honest, this is a tough fight. This is a big deal. You're headlining a major card for a great organization in Showdown Fights. You know, I wish you the best of luck on that, and I want you to have a chance, man. Give some shout outs to whoever, man. Your boys, your family, Jims. Make sure all the fans can find you on Facebook and Twitter.
All right, we're gonna start out with my sponsors, Section 8. Then also VA Mortgage, The Pit, all the boys at The Pit, Ramsey, Court, Brock. Court and Brock have a fight coming up on UFC. 157, make sure you watch that, everyone, please. Got to give a shout-out to Rockwell also. They help make the show happen. My family, my little brothers are at Region Wrestling during the fight, so they're not going to be able to make it, but they're going to kick some trash. Showdown, Scott Bullard for always looking out for me, helping me out. Will Farah puts on Showdown. I mean, they're part of the reason I'm down at the Pit. My coaches, Jason, Shane Stoneman, he's been getting my hands even faster, tuning them up a little more. They're deadly now. Deadly. About everybody. Chance. Got to give a shout out to my buddy Chance. That's who I'm hanging out with right now. Going to go play some Smash Bros.
Well, go smash him up. Hey, enjoy the rest of your night, man. Look, we'll be watching tomorrow, and we're actually going to be tweeting live results for all the fans out there. You guys can go to gfl.tv to find this event, man. Look, you buy it once. Think about it. When you guys see Clay going up there and snatching that UFC belt in another year or two, you're going to be like, hey, buddy, I watched this kid fight when he was younger, and you're going to be able to pull it up because you bought it on GoFightLive.tv. That's what's cool. You own it for life. I've watched all your fights on the Showdown Fight Series, so I watch them over and over. You know, I wish every group that you fought for did that because I guarantee you the Kevin Hamby fight from early 2011, I heard that was a nasty whooping, and I've never got to see it. So, you know, when you fought
YouTube,
over in Mayhem and
you can see that shit on YouTube, man.
Dude, is that one on YouTube? Because it didn't pull up when I was looking for fight videos. I'll have to check it again.
Just type my name in on YouTube, and my first couple fights will come up. Like my first five, I think, are all on there. Kyle Herrera's on there. Buckles is on there. Hamby, another one of Aaron Garcia's dudes. He's the reason I went pro. I only had one amateur fight, and he just kind of, you should go pro, it's better, just because he wanted his guy to fight me. Not knowing anything about me, I was 18, so he figured his guy would smash me, ended up putting a whooping on him, just like I'm going to do to his boy Jordan tomorrow. They're all there.
Right.
They're all there.
I love that attitude, man. Look, Clay, for real, wish you the best of luck tomorrow. Go in there. Make sure that he has the best mouth guard money buys because he's going to need it.
Thanks, man.
Have a good night, brother.
You too. Peace out.
Everybody, that was Clay Collard. You guys can find him on GoFightLive.tv tomorrow, throwing it down at Show Fights 10 in Salt Lake City. Dude, legitimate card, legitimate fights top to bottom. You guys ain't seen this card. You guys don't know what you're missing, man, because they're Jason South, 8-0, getting ready to step up to the big times by taking on Casey Uncola. And anybody out there who loves MMA, you guys know that name. That guy's a veteran. He's legit. Don't forget, my boy, somebody I got mad love for, Jerome Hatch. He's coming in to take out Josh, and I believe he's going to do it in dominating fashion. Also, Deanne Bennett versus Juliana Pena. Dude, that's a great, great women's fight you guys should be paying attention to. Everybody, do not forget, UCC Center on the campus of Utah Valley University. It's actually in Orem, Utah, and you guys can get the stream on GoFightLive.tv. Man, that kid, guys, you guys need to go onto the account and check it out, man. That kid is a beast.
Skippy, I'm not going to lie to you. Here I am trying to interrupt you and ask the guy a couple questions because he's fired up. I just want to, you know, I wanted to ask him a few questions, and I have myself on mute. I apologize. I appreciate you taking over and helping us out, man, because I mean, the kid is just—he sounds geeked and ready to rock. So I'm definitely going to hook up with that that event tomorrow night. I'm fired up to watch it, and you know, I'm looking forward to it. Man, he's—I love the fact that he's that quiet confidence. He's like, you know, I'll kill him. You know, put him up against me, I'll kill him.
How scary is it that Clay fought Justin Buchholz, Dave Castillo, to unanimous decision loss and to a third round guillotine, that he was winning the fight out of a gym in a garage, and now he's at the pit. This kid's got real legitimate talent around him. And hey, hold on, we might actually be lucky enough to have another caller. Hey, 801, who do we got?
Jerome Hatch.
Oh, dude, buddy. Oh, wow. I was just talking about you. This is an honor. Dude, welcome to Full Guard Fight Radio. How are you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, pretty good. Yeah, it's cool to give you a call, man.
Oh, well, for me, as long as I've been doing this and as long as I've been in the business, you're somebody I've always admired as a fighter. And, you know, I know Showdown Fights 10 tomorrow night. You just got done with weigh-ins. You're getting ready to go in there, and you're getting ready to teach Josh what it's about to be in there with a pro who has your talent level. How was your weight cut and your weigh-ins?
Hey, you know, it actually went really well. I actually did it right this time, you know, and went to my body. And it was an easy cut. I cut, you know, 5 pounds last night. Had a good, you know, simple, you know, bowl of cereal this morning before work. Went to work and then cut a couple pounds after work, and it came off real quick. So it was an easy cut. Just got done with dinner and just headed home to get some rest for work tomorrow before the big day, before the big fight. So.
So what did you have for dinner? I'm just curious.
Well, I ate a bowl of, or not a bowl. I ate some salmon, big slab of salmon with some mushrooms, man. Some portobello mushrooms.
Oh, sounds good. You know, a lot of fans out there, you know, listening in tonight, you know, just we didn't exactly know who we were gonna have. This is, you know, like I said, this is so cool. I mean, to me, you know, you're part of the reason why I love this sport. And, I mean, I got to tell you, when you fought at Showdown Fights 5, when you took the axe murderer, Melendez, and you just choked him out, how sweet was that victory after all the shit talking?
It was a good one, man. It was a big one for me, you know. A good one that built up, you know. They had the whole promo video on it, and I mean, everybody was just pumped for that fight, and that's how this one is. You know, they took the video on me this time. And, you know, I've had people come out of the woodworks that don't like the fighting or anything, but like, they see that video, they're like, I got to watch this fight. So they're coming out, never been to them, you know, and we're going to go out there and show them a hell of a time, man, and hopefully get them to be more a fan of the sport, not just of myself being friends and everything, but you know, actually, that's a sport where they're going to go every time now. That's what I love about it. You know, as long as I can get people to come to one of my fights, I know that they're sold. You know, I know that no matter what, you blink your eyes, I'll keep you on the edge of your seat, and I'll pump your body completely full of adrenaline, waiting for that big, you know, waiting for the big victory. So,
yeah.
That's why I love it, too, you know.
I got to ask you, another victory that I was just really, I thought was beautiful was your Colton Vaughn victory. You know, you had just come off, a lot feel was kind of a fight that went your way with Ed Whitmore, you know, and you lost on the split there. But then you come back with just such a dominating performance over Colton and just finish that fight. You know, what changed in that camp from Ed Whitmore to Colton?
Well, I hurt my knee with Ed Whitmore, but I'll say it to anybody and every, I've told him, man, I win that fight 9 times out of 10. And that's what was, I was so driven because I was so pissed off that I had lost the fight because I left it in the hands of judges that I shouldn't even have went to. And, you know, I mean, I got to give the kid, he's got a job, man. But I came back, you know, and I wanted that. And I didn't know anything, you know, I go into my fights blind. I don't watch anything, you know, no video on them or anything. But, you know, I just go in there and try to calm into fight my fight. And I was able to do that, you know. Colton was able to take me down and, you know, had a little spill on the ground for a little bit and come out in the beginning of the second, just was able to finally put my hands on him and was able to drop him right there and finish it.
Now, I got to ask you, I want to go just a little bit farther back because, like I said, I'm a big fan of yours, and I've always wondered, Mike Chrisman fight back, I think it was late 2009, the first time you fought him. You beat him, and then I believe it was just about a year later that you had the rematch. Did you feel any disrespect the way he came at you about the rematch?
Oh, no. No, I mean, and that's why, you know, everybody always tries to say, oh, I know how to beat him, and they take me to the ground, and now that I've developed a ground game, you know, it's really hard to beat me. There's been no disrespect from Chrisman. I mean, you know, he's been one of the people that I've fought, you know, hell, what, 3 or 4 times? I don't know. But it's just, I mean, I like the kid. He'll stand there and he'll bang with me and, you know, we'll slug it out. I find it this last time, I think, that I was able to, you know, really put a stamp on him and say, okay, you don't come back again. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the last time he got me 1 out of 4, and it was because he played on me. And, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, no, I believe the last time you fought, I could be wrong, but I believe it was a guillotine choke that you finished him out with, which, you know, you tapped. That's, you gave him up. That's it. Fight's over. And it's no longer, well, I could have beat him because of the judges, or he caught me with a lucky TKO, you know. No, you tap, dude, you lost. Everybody knows it, you know. So I agree. I think that was a great statement to put the end to that. I guess maybe what he thought was a back-and-forth rivalry. You know, I'm still, like I said, I'm super excited to see you this weekend. I got to ask you, how concerned are you about Josh, if at all?
Man, to be honest with you, dude, I don't get into, I mean, I'm not concerned at all. I mean, that's not being arrogant or cocky here. Then I'm going to go in there and just tear this kid apart. I'm just, you know, I know what I'm capable of doing, and I know that I'm going to draw him in to my fight, and I'm going to hurt him. I've already had, like, weigh-ins, man. I got right into his head, and he's already got too much emotion wrapped into this thing.
Well, and obviously, I don't think ever in your career you've been knocked out, he's not a knockout king himself, so that's not a possibility. And like you said, with what you've been able to do with tightening up your ground game, you know, that's where his bread and butter might be, I guess some would say, is trying to finish people on the ground. So, yeah, he's got a rough night ahead of him.
Under his intentions, he said, oh, he throws big shots, this and that, and all that. It's true, man. I can throw some heavy leather, but, it is what it is, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show them, you know, what Shane Stoneman's done to Jerome Hatch. You know what I mean? That's my boxing coach. And, I mean, the dude is phenomenal. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying that because he's my coach or anything. I mean, the dude does shit that works. You know, it's little combos that work, not these adequate showcase 10, 12-punch combos that you ain't ever going to land in a fight. He's like, no. Okay, this is the way you fight. This is what we're going to do, and you're going to use this, and you're going to knock this kid out. You know, I've been waiting for a good knockout for a couple of years now. It's been a couple of years since I've had a good knockout. And I'm hoping tomorrow night's going to be that night that I have people looking around in confusion, like, did you see that? What the hell just happened? God, I just blinked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
So I feel
real confident, man. Real healthy. You know, I did things different this time than I've ever done for a fight. So I feel real good about it, man.
Well, I think you brought up a good point there with your ability to tighten up your ground games. It does give you an opportunity to use your hands a little bit more, so because they know that it's not going to be so easy to take you down. You know, so they're going to try to probably be stupid and bang with you. So, dude, I love it. I think tomorrow night, you know, I said it earlier this week to a partner of mine. I said, I see you winning by TKO in the second round. You're probably hoping to win first round KO and be done with it early, go home. But, I got a feeling he's going to stay away from you a little bit in the first round.
I think that he's going to, I think once he feels, you know, what I have to offer, once he realized he made that big mistake of stepping in there after dodging me for 2 years, then he's going to know, you know, that I ain't there to play around, man. It's going down, and I'm going to break his spirit. And he's going to come out, and he's going to try to survive, and he won't. Like you said, second round, I predict second round myself. First round, you know, people kind of, they feel each other out, don't know whether to get in, whether to stay out, you know what I mean? And I think that once I get him in that defense, that it's all over.
Well, Jerome, you know, I'll tell you what, for everybody out there who can't make it to UCC for the fights there in Utah, they're going to be able to watch you live on GoFi Live TV. And for all the fans out there, you guys need to get this pay-per-view, and you guys need to watch him work. This guy's legitimate. I mean, he's somebody I've been following for a long time, and somebody I think is a great, great fighter. I know you just did weigh-ins. I know it's been a long camp. You're trying to get home to relax. So I want to just give you a chance before we wrap up with you. You want to give any shout-outs to any sponsors, gyms, social media? Phil, take a run at it.
Yeah, man. First off, I want to thank my family, you know, my kids and my wife. And, you know, they stand beside me, you know, more with everything. You know, also Showdown Fights putting this on, and some of my sponsors, you know, Jake's Brookside, Sign Guys, Sound Warehouse, Gandolfo's Deli, man, Killer Sandwiches. Dude, there's, you know, hell, East Mountain Dental. You know, you got Ace Rents, Need It, Rent It, man. And, hell, man, there's so many different ones, dude. North American Arms, that's another big one. Okay, that's a good one. So I'm trying to picture my banner right now, man, and kind of roll with it. It's Provo Death or Glory. And also, man, the gym.
Whoa. Hey. Okay, there you go. Hold on. Let me get this. Hello?
Hello, yeah, I don't know. That ain't me.
No, that's there we go. That's my producer. He's messing up on the board tonight. For some reason, he patched in a phone call. But please finish your sponsors. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right, man. We throw a remix in there. And then, obviously the gym I train at, the Pit Elevated, and Coach Jason Merlick, you know, and Shane Stoneman, also Justin Jacobson being in my corner, and most of all, man, all the fans. Tonight I just sold over $10,000 in tickets for this fight, and I am ready to put on one hell of a show for everybody. I want to thank everybody for going through me, getting tickets, shirts, everything, man. It's going to be a hell of a night tomorrow night.
Hey, I wish you the best of luck. And as a fan from, like I said, back in the day, I believe you've got this second round. I believe you're going to TKO it, and I hope to see your hand raised, and I hope we can talk to you again. And you guys have a wonderful night. Thank you.
Yes, sir. You guys do the same, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Hey, anytime, brother. Have a good night. Good luck. Hey, Matthew, I know you're about to take over and run with your next guest, so just one last shout-out, Go Fight Live TV. You guys can get Showdown Fights 10 there. It's going to be a great card. Buy it once, own it for life. Follow Madhouse.com, MMAMadhouse.com for live results. Go ahead, Matthew, run at it.
All right, man, yeah. We sorry to him and to our next guest about the little mix-up there and the jumble, but with that, we're going to jump right in with Dion DeLauder from the Florida Combat Network. Dion's got a big fight card tomorrow night here in Clearwater, Florida, which I'll be out live at, and we'll bring him right in, man. Dion, how's it going?
Matthew, I'm doing fantastic, man. Thanks for having me on the show. What's up to you and all the Madhouse listeners?
Hey, man, it's not a problem. We love having you on. You know, we had you on before FCC3, and we had said then that we wanted to do it again before FCC4, and here we are, man. How are the weigh-ins tonight?
Oh, I tell you, these guys are ready to rumble, my friend. Very intense. I had a couple of guys that are very close to going pro. We've got some pro scouts are going to be in the audience for this one. You know, some of the XFC guys, some of the guys from Fight Time are going to be in the audience. So we've got some pro scouts out there. These guys are hungry. They're looking to break into the pros. Everybody's excited about the new ground and pound legislation that's going to be coming here in a couple of months. It was really good, man. The weigh-ins went very nice. A lot of great pictures. Beautiful ring girl. The Tilted Tilt girls are nice. Everything's going good, man. We're expecting over 1,000 fans out to this event. We've got a great bout card lined up. A lot of guys could be fighting for some titles. And it's going to be an exciting show. You know, we've been running radio spots, billboards, posters all over the place, and just, you know, getting the word out there. So we expect a big crowd. It's going to be a really cool event. If you've ever been to one of our events, you know we do it up. This one's going to be outside. So if you've never done an outside event, it's definitely something a little different. It's a great feel to it. And I'm just excited that, you know, it's our fourth event. Things are running smooth. And, you know, it's just, you know, carving a niche for ourselves in this industry, and I think we're doing that.
Right on, man, right on. I've been to one outside event. It wasn't the best experience because it was out in the sand and just kind of not greatly put together, but that is a much lesser promotion than what you guys host, so I know that you're
going to say that wasn't my event.
No, not at all. Not at all. It was not. I have no worries or no doubts when it comes to the Florida Combat Challenge event. So I know it's going to be a great night. You're switching it up. You know, last time around it was at the Hilton Doubletree, and tonight tomorrow night you'll be live at the Tilted Kilt in Clearwater, Florida. So what's that been like working with those guys, and how have they been helping you set up the event?
Well, you know what's funny? Everybody, when I tell everybody I'm doing the event outside, everybody's like, really? At the Tilted Kilt? Where are you going to do it outside? And I've got to educate them and tell them. I said, well, the very first event I ever did was at the Tilted Kilt outside up in Carrollwood. And we had a great show up there. The Tilted Kilt's been a sponsor of mine for the radio show and all of the fights that we've done ever since. They love working with us. We give them a great promotion. We take care of them. They take care of us kind of thing. That, you know, it's a great brand that they have, and you know, they've been asking me basically to bring to their Clearwater location ever since we did the first one. So it was a great time. Another promotion kind of weaseled me in on my other venue that I had. So it was just a perfect timing. I brought it up and bring it back over to these guys. They're very excited about it. They've been promoting it. They sold more tickets than I've sold. You know, they've got all the girls over there pushing them, so they're a lot easier to. I'd rather buy tickets off the girls than me too. So. It's been great. We've got Budweiser on board. We've got Jim the Anvil Neidhart from Wrestling Legends. Jim the Anvil Neidhart and Tatanka are going to be out at this event. Going to come out and enjoy the event. The very next night, they're doing the World Championship of Arm Wrestling at the same place. So we're going to have a lot of the arm wrestler guys out. Some of the best of the best are going to be out there at the fights. It's going to be a great card, man. We're really excited about it.
Right on, man. That's awesome.
Hey, Dan, just real quick. Your weigh-ins tonight. Any surprises? Anybody miss weight? Anybody make weight that you were thinking the other way, or did it go smooth?
Yeah, there's a couple of guys. You know, I deal with all the amateurs and I deal with all the schools. And you know, with the amateur fights, it's a little different. Pros, these guys, you know, especially with you know the way that the date of this fight, training through, they basically had to train through the holidays, Christmas and New Year's. And it's hard to get guys to do that. So. You know, we had our hiccups with anytime you're making, you know, matches for amateurs, you're going to have hiccups, guys are not showing, dropping out because of this and that and the other. One guy, Michael Cora from Gracie Tampa West, fractured his orbital socket a few days ago, so he's not going to be able to make it on the card. We had another guy break his ankle a week ago, jogging, broke his ankle. So as far as that, and the real surprise, we've got some lightweights on the card. We've got some 145ers. And one of the guys showed 118, and he had to put on 2 pounds before we could because there's only has to be a 7 pound difference between the two fighters, and the other guy was right on 125, and he was like at 116, 117, so we gave him some protein bars and ordered him some big platters from the Tilted Kilt, had to put on a couple of pounds so we could make the weight. But that was my first experience having a guy needing to put weight on to make the bout happen.
I was gonna say that probably doesn't happen often, huh? I mean might be once in a lifetime, right?
Yeah, it was just kind of hilarious. But he didn't mind. We had a good time. We ate some chili cheese fries and some Detour protein bars, and he made weight no problem.
Well, See, that's my kind of wake up. That's the kind of stuff I can handle. I can't handle this running, you know, and whatnot, but I can handle eating the chili cheese fries.
I was just going to say, if every weight was like that, we'd probably have a lot more fighters. Every weight cut
absolutely.
Was like that.
Absolutely. Listen, I would fight all the time. I would be at every promotion. I would just run around the country fighting. As a promoter, how frustrating, you know, I mean, some of those guys you can't help. Well, I guess, you know, why are you sparring so hard with, you know, a week to go to break your orbital bone? But, I mean, you know, things happen. Things are crazy and things happen. But, you know, guy running, how frustrating is that to you as a promoter? I mean, you know, you feel like you got all this stuff lined up, and now, you know, you're kind of juggling some stuff. But tell me what goes through your mind and you know, how you kind of make that happen.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I plan on it. I count on things like that happening. So, you know, I always want to deliver a minimum of 10 fights. You know, we try to do 12. So what we end up doing is we usually make about 14 or 15 matches, because we expect by the time the fight card rolls around, we'll have, you know, we'll have some hiccups, and, you know, we'll have to do some, you know, slide around and everything. But we always plan for, you know, things like that. Listen, here's the thing. I used to fight myself back before it was called MMA, back when it was just Valley Tudo. And, you know, I understand the mind state of being a fighter and what it's like. And, I know the things that these guys deal with. Sometimes it's just being a knucklehead, man. You know, like the guy, like you said, training too hard before a fight.
Yep.
You know, but it's frustrating. But I've learned to accept it. I don't let it get to me too much, because it's just the nature of the beast, the nature of the game. And you know, so the best thing that we can do is we just prepare for it, and you know, make sure that we don't get caught with our pants down. And so far, we've been fortunate to, and I've got a great matchmaker in James Bennett from Central Florida MMA. And he does a really good job of putting the cards together. MMA Solutions, our sanctioning company, they just won the award at the Florida MMA Awards, as we did. But they won for best sanctioning body. You know, they handle all the stuff for us. So, you know, I surround myself with good quality people that are knowledgeable and better at their area than I am. And I put my trust in them, and they do a great job. So it's a testament to them, I guess, myself and our preparation.
Is everything good to go with the Julio Valadares fight?
Yeah, Julio's definitely, he was there tonight, made weight, everything looked great, love that guy. It should be a great fight. I know he's scrappy, so.
Yeah, I love watching those Banks guys fight. I have yet to see one of them lose. Those guys put on great fights, and I know that whenever one of their guys is on a card, there's usually a good amount of the team out there, and those are guys, I know a few of the guys quite well, and I'm excited to see him fight, excited to see some of his teammates, hopefully, so.
There's a few great schools out there like that, man, and I don't want to start naming them all, because I'll feel bad if I leave somebody out, but, SPNF is another good school. Shane over there, all of his guys are tough as nails, and they come to bang. Bamboo from Gracie Tampa West, Joe Weissman, all of his, you know, his guys come, and they put a great show on, so. You know, we got a lot of great schools involved with this, a lot of great guys that are on the card. So I think, you know, it's going to be a great show. We did something different also this time. I don't know if you saw that, but our prices, we lowered our prices on all the tickets. I want to make it affordable for anybody to come out and catch a show. It's $20 general admission, get you in live cage fights for $20. Nobody's doing that. Not in here, not in Tampa anyway. And, you know, so we're doing that. And we're just trying to mix it up, make the best show that we possibly can. I try to put on a production that rivals the pros in the area, but, you know, we do it for the Emmy so they can get a good feel for it and kind of know what to expect, so they're not all starstruck and jittery when they go to the pros. You know, we just try to make it comfortable for them. We try to take really good care of them and, you know, make it easy for them to just show up and do what they do best.
Right on, man. Well, don't want to keep you too long. I know it's been a long, busy day, and you probably still have a long, long night ahead of you, so thanks for taking some time out, man. I know you're a real busy guy. I'm excited to be there tomorrow night, excited to hook up and get to see what you got to offer, man. With that said, you know, FCC4 live tomorrow night, doors open at 7. Fights are going to start around 8 o'clock at the Tilted Kilt in Clearwater, Florida.
If you want any more information, you can check it out on the website, floridacombatnetwork.com. Other than that, man, come out and enjoy the show. It's going to be a live event right there at the Tilted Kilt, right in the parking lot, and you won't regret it.
All right, man. Thanks for joining us, Deion. I'll see you tomorrow night, man.
Hey, Matthew. Thanks for having me on the show, guys. I really appreciate it. Good luck to you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. We'll see you at the fight.
All right, yeah, thanks, man. That was that's awesome. I'm a big promoter like that. You know, tomorrow are his fights. Tonight he's got weigh-ins, you know, got some things to probably tie up, and he makes a couple minutes for us. So I appreciate that.
Right on. Absolutely.
It's been busy.
Yeah, busy night we had, man. We had some great interviews, talked with some great people. I mean, this there's no UFC on this weekend, so people are probably thinking, wow, man, you know, I'm going to be in withdrawals, got no MMA to watch, but there is a stacked weekend full of MMA. You FCC4 here in Clearwater, American Battle Championships in Clearwater. You got Showdown Fights live tomorrow night. I think GFL's got somewhere between four and six events that they're going to be airing this weekend. It's just phenomenal, man. I want MMA fans to know that the UFC is not the beginning and the end of MMA by any means. There's MMA all around you. It's a matter of searching it. It's a matter of taking the initiative that if you're truly an MMA fan, man, look the crap up. It's there. It's there for you to watch, and you can usually watch it pretty cheap online or go out to a fight for pretty cheap, you know, 20, 30 bucks like that. You know, you can't beat that. You're going to spend about 20 bucks. You're going to spend minimum of 20 bucks to watch a UFC event from your couch or from a Wing House or a Hooters. So why not spend 20 bucks to go see some live MMA fights for some young, hungry guys that are trying to make a name for themselves? You know, not for some guys who have already made names for themselves, so they don't usually fight as hard, which is what you get sometimes out of the UFC, which is unfortunate. You got guys who go out there and they bust their ass and they fight hard all the time, and there's some guys who just kind of seem to kind of maybe take it a little easy because they're going to get paid big time no matter what. So I have my opinions.
It's frustrating. I didn't mean to cut down. No, it's very frustrating to me. I mean, you're absolutely right. The average MMA fan only knows MMA, you know, the finger quotes as the UFC. So, you know, it's that's why local MMA suffers kind of like it does. So, you know, MMA Madhouse bringing it live, and, you know, Skippy did a great job tonight. I want to thank him. You know, he carried a lot of those interviews and stuff, and we really appreciate it here on Full Guard Free Radio.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I know you have a good relationship with Dion from the Florida Combat Network there, and, you know, I mean, it's enjoyable for me now, and I say now because just like women's MMA, prior to working with MMA Madhouse, I wasn't the biggest amateur fan partly because, you know, I came from a state where we didn't have MMA, and all I had was local, but it was like, you know, backyard local, which does not appeal to me even a little bit.
Tank Abbott type stuff.
yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right, man. And coming down here to Florida, especially being in this, you know, we don't have as much as the East Coast, but I'll tell you what, man, the West Coast, we have some pretty cool stuff, and, you know, we got some good stuff going on, and I know out West with Skippy and Carl out in, you know, the West Coast there, they got a bunch of stuff going on, and it's anywhere. You're absolutely right. It's anywhere. GFL TV this weekend, you know, they're going to have a bunch of stuff going on, so you don't need the UFC is kind of what I'm saying. Bellator was on tonight. You know, that's another great promotion.
Absolutely.
There's good stuff on. You don't need to be, what do they say, a Zufa zombie. You don't need to be that stuff, you know.
Zufa zombie, yeah. I agree with all that. I do want to talk a little bit about the UFC 156 since that was a big thing last Saturday. And it's been a big week for the UFC. I mean, if you watched UFC 156, there were some great fights. If you saw The Ultimate Fighter this week, it was just phenomenal. One of the best knockouts that in the history of the sport. You know, scary for a few minutes there. You want to make sure that anytime somebody gets knocked out, you want to make sure the guy's all right. You know, you want to see great fights and you want to see great stuff in the sport, but you don't ever want to see true injuries or anything that's life-threatening. And it was really a bit scary there for a few minutes, you know, when Stella was down, but he got up, you know, just a little bit of a memory loss, but he's good. You know, everything's fine with him, just a temporary thing, and it's good to see that. And with that said, you know, knowing that the fighter's okay, Adam Stella's all right, that Uriah Hall with that spinning heel kick, just one of the sickest things I've ever seen, one of the greatest knockouts I've ever seen. It was just phenomenal. That guy, you know, I think it's easy to say at this point, he's the guy in the house that they were talking about that everyone was scared of, and I'm excited to see what he has to come, what more we see from him throughout the season. I try to always follow The Ultimate Fighter. I usually get I've gotten behind in the past seasons and kind of just waited and watched the finale. But with this season, I don't want to miss a single minute of it. It's already shaping up to be really good. Chael Sonnen is earning my respect each episode because you're getting to see what he's like as a coach and kind of what he's like when he puts the larger-than-life persona aside and you see the real guy. The real guy looks like somebody who I'd have a lot of respect for and be a big fan of. So it's been great so far. And, I mean, I don't know if you've got to catch any of it, but it's been phenomenal for three episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And the first two, I'm sorry, first three episodes, I think, and it's been great. So I'm excited to see what's coming the rest of the season.
No, I absolutely agree, and I'm a big Jon Jones fan. I know Jon Jones personally. I know his family personally. And, I like him, obviously, very much. But Chael Sonnen, you know, to me, he was a shit talker, and he was just that guy you want to go hang out. He was just that guy you want to go hang out with and have a beer, you know. But he's really taking it seriously. I thought this was just going to be kind of like a mock-up, and, you know, he was just going to kind of make a mockery of it just to get himself over. But he really has proved that, you know, he takes his stuff seriously, and, you know, he knows what he's talking about, obviously. He he's very intelligent, and he really wants to see these guys succeed. And to see him, like, he's kind of like a dad, kind of, you know, watching these kids, watching his son.
Yeah, definitely.
And get excited, and you know, he feels the emotions that these guys feel, and, you know, he doesn't need to do that. He's, you know, the guy's making millions of dollars per fight, and he's exactly where he wants to be. I mean, for God's sakes, he was, you know, he won the smack off on the Jim Rome show. You know, I mean, I listen to Jim Rome all the time, and, you know, I'm a big sports talk radio guy, and he, you know, he's like the quintessential talker, but he really is impressive. I mean, he's really making it fun for me, and I couldn't agree more with you. This is a great season, and a lot of people are kind of bashing it, and I don't know why. This season is one of my favorites, not because
absolutely,
you know, not because of Jones and Sonnen, but just because it just seems like it's more. And I think it's more down to earth too. I mean, because I know Jones is a great, you know, he's taken a lot of beating, you know, and he's a good kid. He really is. He comes from a great family. You know, he's a good family man. Himself as a father, and you know, I would call him a husband, but they're not married yet. But him and Jesse, but and Sonnen is taking it very seriously. So I mean, it just seems to be, it's all coming together. And I agree with you very much that this is a good season. And that knockout was very scary. Everybody Googles and YouTubes the knockouts, and you watch hockey because of the fights, and you watch NASCAR because of the crashes, and you watch MMA for the knockouts. But this, you know, you want to make sure a kid's okay. You want to make sure, you know, he goes home
absolutely
to a family. He's got to wake up
absolutely
in the morning and go to work if he doesn't fight ever again. And you want to make sure that he's okay. And, you know,
yep.
I mean, we only see what they want to show us, and I'm pretty sure he's okay, or we would have heard some other stuff about it. But, you know, you just want to – he's someone's son. He's someone's maybe father and brother. And, you know, so it's you – know, but you're absolutely right. It was an incredible knockout. It was very, very, very surreal to watch – somebody,
he knew exactly what he was doing. You know, he said, I noticed that he was dropping his right hand a little bit too much. He pretty much baited him right in, brought him in. As soon as he threw the, you know, there was no setup. He just threw the kick out of nowhere, and the initial response from Stella was that right hand dropped just as Hall thought it would, and he connected perfectly. I mean, the heel of the foot, the hardest part, the most dangerous part, connected right to the side of his head, and like, you know, thank God the guy's all right. Thank God he got up after a minute, and everything's good. But it's just amazing knockout, just phenomenal. I'm gonna transition from that to go ahead. If
just
you
real quick, just real quick. I just want to, you know, I've been knocked out a few times. I've had a few concussions in my day, and I remember very much being woken up on the ground and not knowing what happened in those, I feel like it was hours. But, I mean, you just gotta step back and think, you know, this kid's family, this kid is going to watch this, and how does he get back in the cage and deal with that? You know, I liken it to the Diego Sanchez when he got that nasty cut against BJ Penn. You know, that was a bad cut, and he said that has changed him. And you got to think, does a knockout like that, does someone who, you know, who's out obviously well before they hit the ground, does that play some mental mental game with him or whatever. And, you know, for him to get back in the cage, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I stammer over myself. I'm not sure that, you know, you ask yourself, so you want to be a fighter, huh? And you just see these kids getting, you know, knocked out cold like that. And, you know, MMA, boxing, combat sports, it takes a different breed of people. And to see that, and then to know and meet and be able to talk and have conversations with a lot of these people, it's just incredible that they get in the cage and they do that, and then they come out of the cage and then they are the people that they are behind the scenes. So if you don't, if you're just tuning in and this is the first time you've ever heard about an MMA fighter or whatever, then you know you're in good hands because they're good people is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and then to just a couple more minutes on the UFC before we start to wrap up and give shout-outs to our sponsors. Actually, let's go ahead and give a shout-out to the sponsors right now. Brawlbase.com, CrossRoaderClothing.com, GameChangerClothing, GatorMMA.com. Thank you for all you're doing. FutureFighters.com, check them out. You know, we had that episode last week that was all kids, all about the future generation. Immediately got great response. Bryce Fishinghawk from Future Fighters has been getting swarmed all week with parents wanting to know how they can get their kids on our show. We are going to be doing that again. We're going to probably try and do that once every couple of episodes, maybe about once every three or four episodes, just dedicated to the kids. Immediately, I've gotten some response, some parents wanting to know how to get their kids on the show. So it's exactly what I wanted to happen, and I'm glad that it's happening because the future of the sport is very, very, very bright. And the potential is just enormous for these kids that are coming up. So just thank you to Future Fighters for all that you're doing for us. Check them out. They're going to have their own feature magazine coming out very shortly. And just thank you to all our sponsors for all you guys are doing. With that said, UFC 156, so the takeaways I got from that was never disrespect your opponent. Always show your opponent respect. It doesn't matter how outnumbered or how much better you think you are. You know, respect your opponent. And Overeem probably should have gone out there and destroyed Bigfoot and finished that fight early. But that's not what happened because Overeem did not have respect for Bigfoot. So what happened was Overeem came out looking lazy, looking like carefree, looking like he wasn't worried. Well, Bigfoot woke up at the end of the second round, and you could see it in his eyes, came right out in the third round, and did not take long, like 27 seconds or 30 seconds or something. That was, again, one of the best knockouts I've ever seen. It was, if not for the force of Bigfoot's punches, I think Overeem would have gone down much quicker, but the force of those punches coming upwards, keeping him up against the cage, Overeem was out long before he hit the ground. And that, you know, and just the emotion that poured out of Bigfoot after that happened, with Bigfoot standing over him yelling, "Get back up, I want to fight you," was just something amazing to see. If just what a fighter goes through to get ready for a fight and to not be respected and to be shown such disregard, I'm glad that Bigfoot walked out of that cage with a beautiful KO victory.
I got to say, that is just more reason why Herb Dean is the best in the business.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine, honestly, and I'm not trying to be funny here, can you imagine if Kim Winslow was in the octagon with these two guys? Herb Dean is by far, Anderson Silva, first of all, I got so much stuff going on in my head here. First of all, Overeem, he just didn't look the part to me. He looked, you're absolutely right, nope. Matt. He looked like he just came out and he was playing T-ball with his son. He didn't look concerned.
Absolutely.
He didn't look like he had any worry in his mind. Big ups to Bigfoot Silva because there was some time in that first round that I was concerned for his well-being and if that was going to go past the first round. But, you know, in the third round, you know, in between rounds, it was, you know, Bigfoot got a vote of confidence and he was, you know, you could see he was like, okay, I'm in this fight. This is my fight to win. And then when he knocked him out, he was Overeem was out on his feet. And thank God Herb Dean was in the ring with them, because seriously, I think Bigfoot would have been on top of him, just pummeling him. And there's nothing anybody in that business could have done besides, but maybe Big John and Herb Dean. So,
I couldn't agree more. I personally don't think that Kim Winslow or Steve Mazzagatti belong reffing. Not a fan of either one. Too many mistakes between the two of them. You know, Yamasaki, Big John, Irving. Those guys are the best there is, and in my opinion, should be the ones that doing all the fights. I don't see, as you said, nobody other than the only Big John would be the only other person besides Herb Dean that could have actually had the ability to pull Bigfoot off, and even Herb was having a hard time doing it. Bigfoot's a beastly dude, but yeah, I mean, it's a good thing you had the best in the business. Herb Dean is the absolute best in the business, no question about that. Good thing he was there.
Absolutely. Let me just follow up real quick with UFC 156. I got to say, even with a loss, Frankie Edgar is just, the guy is just incredible. You know, he drops down a weight class, takes on Jose Aldo, who's one of the greatest fighters in the world. And I'm not going to lie to you, I thought maybe he won that fight. I mean, you just got to do a little bit more to take the belt away from the champion. I think that's, you know, I think if that's just a regular fight, I think he wins that fight. But, you know, I mean, respect to the judges, they didn't, you know, that fight could have gone either way, I guess, is what I'm saying. And Frankie Edgar is just the reason that you just love MMA. The guy just comes to fight. He gives everything he got. Yeah, absolutely. He gives it everything. His face looked like mashed potatoes when he was done. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, he didn't care. He continually, and I've seen him, I saw him at UFC 128, and it was midnight. He didn't have a fight coming up. He had nothing going on. And he's in his room, or in a room, like a banquet hall at the hotel, just striking with his coach. You know, it's just, it's crazy. It's midnight. The guy's got nothing going on. So, you know, I don't know. So.
Yeah.
But
right on. It was a crazy night. Probably should have been, some of those fights should have been better, in my opinion. I know we're running out of time here real quick. We had a great night tonight, but I just have to say I'm very, very not pleased that the biggest payout on that card was Rashad Evans, who looked like a bum against Little Nog.
Terrible, terrible.
Just terrible. The UFC needs to get straight how they're paying their fighters and how they're rewarding their fighters. It's a shame we're running out of time. We could go on with this all night. I'm just beyond frustrated with that, but maybe another day for that one. I do want to give us a couple minutes here for us to talk to about some local stuff. We've talked about the FCC4 event tomorrow night with Dion and stuff. I'll also be out at the American Battle Championships this Sunday at Gasoline Alley in Clearwater. It's going to be another great event. Those guys are putting on huge events all throughout Florida this year. Some like 5 or 6 events planned just in the first 2 months. So these guys work hard. You know, Sky Moistick, Sam Jones, and Aaron Rojman, the guys that run the ABC, and that's another big fight coming up. I do want to give a shout out to No Pain Just Glory, who's been a longtime supporter at MMA Madhouse and one of our partners here in the business. They're going out of business. They have a big going out of business sale at their website. Go check it out. They got lots of great gear, lots of great stuff. Just one of the best, and it's unfortunate to see him go, but go check him out. You get some great, great stuff at a discounted rate, and, you know, you can't beat that.
Say that again. What was it?
No pain, just glory. Check it out, MMAMadhouse.com. We have direct links for them at MMAMadhouse.com. It's No Pain, Just Glory. Going out of business sale, get great gear at very cheap prices. Cannot beat it. So with that said, man, it's been a great night. It's always an honor co-hosting shows with you, Jason, and thanks to everybody that was on the show tonight. Thanks to Mr. Cohen for jumping in and helping it, and even heading some of the interviews for us. You know, some guys he was a little bit more familiar with. We do appreciate that. That's the brotherhood that we have here at MMA Madhouse, and it's always an honor. Check us out, Full Guard Fight Radio on Facebook, MMAMadhouse.com. We're the best in the business. We will talk to you guys next week. Thank you for joining us tonight.